Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Thursday morning in Wisconsin. Sign up for our newsletter at that website as well, upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter up in the banner, and you'll see the fine stack of news that we present every day. You can reach the show at 715-388-7155 and our email address radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Tomorrow, our guests include UW-Milwaukee professor Melissa Scanlon, who will discuss the climate aspects of the Inflation Reduction Act, whether it will move the needle, what are its strengths and weaknesses, and what kinds of investments could result in near-term gains. She is a funding member of the state's first environmental law firm, Midwest Environmental Advocates, and she's currently the chair in water policy at UW-Milwaukee School of Freshwater Sciences and director of the Center for Water Policy. So I think she knows her stuff. So we will talk about the climate provisions that are in the Inflation Reduction Act. Brewers get a nice win yesterday afternoon, 4-3. Rowdy Tellez, that's it. That would be what you want to say. He tied the game with a home run in the ninth inning, and then had the play of the game in my mind was in the 10th inning, because now, you know, each team gets an automatic runner on second base to start the inning. The very first pitch of the 10th inning is a ground ball to Rowdy Tellez, who's playing in, thankfully, and therefore had enough time, if you throw it right, and he did, to get that automatic runner out at third as he was trying to stretch it out, prevent it to run. And then Willy Adames with the walk-off hit. I guess his first one as a Brewer. I feel like I've seen so many good walk-off hits. I didn't realize that was the first one for Willy, but...
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that either. That would shock me. I feel like he had a walk-off home run.
I thought so too. And again, that's just the note that was on the screen during the telecast. So I'm not going to say that they were wrong. just telling you what I saw. But quite the celebration on the field afterwards. And I've been down on the team a little bit, enough to go, all right, that you didn't just win the division here. Meanwhile, Luke sporting his Brewers cap, to show that he's the better fan than I am. But the Brewers do sweep the Rays in the short two-game series and in the four-game season series.
Yeah, and so the wheels on Taylor, though, too, to get home on that single by Adames was very impressive, because they still had the relay, and it was kind of a weird pitch into home plate, but Taylor going in for that go-ahead run at the bottom of the 10th was impressive as well, because do you know how they choose the go-ahead runner? Is it just the last out?
It's the last out
gets to go to it? Okay, so I guess we were just lucky that the last out was Taylor, because he put those wheels on and he got home, and that was great.
And he apparently also made two excellent catches in center field. Keston Hira made an outstretched diving play as well. So everything that I said about the defense back on Monday, I take it all back. The defense is back. They've managed. Way to go. I have to walk back my comments in much the same way. One Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, appears to have walked back some of his comments on Chief Elections Inspector Michael Gableman, the Inspector Clouseau of Wisconsin politics. You will recall that on Tuesday night, after Assembly Speaker Voss fended off a Republican challenger in the primary from the MAGA far right, Voss called Gableman an embarrassment. And I noted late yesterday that Emily Fannin from CBS 58 said Voss has now walked it back, saying he was referring to Gableman's actions, noting the review became partisan once the former justice engaged in partisan politics. He did a really good job until that in February, Voss said. So apparently he was very happy with Gableman at first, and basically just said, Gableman got a little too full of himself, got too attached to the camera. But again, as Congressman Pocan just said, this is not new. He was at the MyPillow rallies. He was at Stop the Steal rallies. He, was a grenade thrower while he was on the Supreme Court. So, none of this should be surprising that, when you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And that's what happened. But Governor Tony Evers, as we mentioned yesterday, meeting with his new running mate, State Assembly Rep Sarah Rodriguez. They met in Madison in a diner and talked, and then the governor talked to reporters afterwards. And in the two bites we'll play back to back here, Evers has a pretty direct message about, you know, what Voss and others should be doing vis-a-vis the 2020 election.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I put the wrong
evergreen soundbite.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Evergreen soundbite. Yeah, any button you push, that one could come up from Robin Voss.
But no, here is actually the governor yesterday.
Our elections are fair and safe and secure. Joe Biden won. Tim, get over it.
It's a very direct message to Tim Michaels, the Connecticut businessman who is running for Wisconsin governor. And, you know, we will have to see where Michaels stands on all this on any given day, or as we learned yesterday, any given hour. Recall that it was late in the show yesterday. I think you were the one that noticed it first, Luke. A New York Times reporter tweeted that, you know, the Michaels website had been scrubbed of the Trump endorsement in a key part of the homepage. And yet mere minutes after that was made noted on Twitter by the New York Times reporter, lo and behold, the endorsement was back. It was the Lazarus of endorsements and has made it back onto the webpage now.
I feel so bad for the staffer that was probably like, yeah, we're going to take this off real quick, and then realize quickly how much blowback there was. Because pretty much all of the statewide reporters at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, at the State Journal, picked up on that New York Times reporter sharing that update on the website immediately. And so it happened so quickly. Within 10, 15 minutes, this went from being removed to being put back on. And I have a feeling the Michaels camp doesn't really know what to do with that Trump endorsement right now.
No, I don't think they do. I think that they now, again, every campaign does internal polling, you know, as much as they can. And, you know, that's essentially the way they, you know, lick their finger and put it up to the wind and see how things are going. And, you know, what does a Trump endorsement mean? What does that Trump baggage do? Was it, you know, harmed or helped by federal agents executing that search warrant at Mar-a-Lago to see if he was mishandling classified documents, outright breaking the law with the way that he was, what he was doing with those classified documents. So as Trump's fortunes go up and down, so do Tim Michaels. I mean, they really are joined at the hip from now through November, no different than, you know, the candidates in Arizona, Michigan, Georgia. This is basically a ticket that's going to, you know, rise and fall with Trump's fortunes. Yes, there will be other circumstances in Wisconsin, you know, that determine this race as well. But as we've said before, there's a block of Trump supporters who hadn't voted previously. They just thought, you know, I don't like any of these politicians. They see a Donald Trump come along and go, oh, now here's a guy speaking my language. You know, and so now you have, you know, Tim Michaels, he's speaking my language, and these other officials in other states. Did they only come out, you know, to support Trump? And, you know, will they be motivated enough? They certainly in a primary, there were enough of them. But what about in a general election? A, will they turn out? B, will there be enough of them to give somebody like Tim Michaels the advantage? Well, like I said, there will be many other issues that will be discussed in the campaign, including whether elected officials on the ballot right now are working on behalf of the people or are they not? And that takes us to the PACT Act, the bill that covers, you know, the many veterans who were exposed to toxic burn pits while they were overseas in war zones and in other areas and staging zones and such. And without trying to, you know, bring back the entire process, again, we have to talk about process, just like the filibuster. Part of the process is whether a bill, you know, gets a vote that enables it to go to its final vote. All right, two very different things. And if you if you're voting in that first vote, if you're voting not to let the bill go to its final vote, technically you're not voting against the bill, but what you're saying is, well, if somebody wants to filibuster it to death and it never comes up for a final vote, you know, I'm okay with that. And that's what Ron Johnson did, not once, but twice with the PACT Act. And by the way, Wisconsin House Republicans, you know, when the bill was actually up, had voted no as well in the past. But it did finally pass. It did finally go to President Joe Biden for his signature. And, you know, as Biden said in his bill signing ceremony, a lot of people worked together to make this long overdue bill happen.
This law is long overdue, but we finally got it done together. And I don't want to hear the press tell me Democrats, Republicans can't work together. We got it done, and we got it done together.
And happened that way, again, only because, again, not every Senate Republican ultimately voted for the bill. Ron Johnson did, but not before, you know, that previous vote we talked about. But the president talked about, the debt that we owe our veterans, the ones who put themselves in harm's way, who knew they were in harm's way, but that does not mean that you can just, burn toxic material next to them and then not take care of them when they come home. That care is a sacred obligation. Here's how the president put it.
Less than 1% of you risk everything to defend 99% of the population. 1% risk 99%. We owe you. As a nation, we have many obligations. I've been saying this for a long, long time. We have many obligations, but only one truly sacred obligation: to equip those we send into harm's way and to care for them and their families when they come home.
I think it's important as well, Pat, to recall that Bo Biden got cancer after serving overseas. So this is a extremely close to home issue for the president.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next cut number 15 of our Biden sound bites here, that, he has seen this. He knows firsthand, through his family, what these things can do.
I was in and out of Iraq over 20 times, and then Fort Bonestell and all those places. And you could actually see some of it in the air. Burn pits the size of football fields that incinerated wastes of war, such as tires, poisonous chemicals, jet fuel, and so much more I won't even mention.
So will this do any good? One last note from the president. He says this is going to matter. This is going to make a difference.
This new law matters. It matters a lot. It matters a great deal because these conditions have already taken such a toll on so many veterans and their families.
Needless to say, along with talking about the PACT Act, the president has been asked about the Inflation Reduction Act and, what it will do. Is it enough? What about the things that didn't get done? You also had a very good inflation report for the past month. Things were bad, but they were bad globally, and things are starting to come down here. That's where the president said in cut 23 here, Luke, that he believes that, what he's doing now and when this bill passes will make a difference to the American people.
Our work is far from over, but two things should be clear. First, the economic plan is working, and second is building an economy that will reward work.
And that's really what this has to be about. We've had for far too long an economy, an economic policy in the country that rewards wealth more than it rewards work. If you want to reward them the same, I mean, I wouldn't, but that's a decision that you can make. But surely what nobody wants in this economy is one that rewards wealth more than work, meaning the tax exemptions, the loopholes, the disincentive to reinvest. I mean, this is basic economics for us. And frankly, I wish they'd bring back some of like the old, Elmer Fudd cartoons and things that explain that, it is a good thing to plow your profits back into your company, into your workforce, into capital, and not stock buybacks, which simply make, people with wealth even better off. To the extent that Joe Biden and Democrats in control are starting to put that pendulum back where it should be for American capitalism to work best, that serves us all. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be back.